Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have two super special ladies here. I've got Andrea Allen and Emily Lubin is here.
Heyo!
Special!
You're both special.
Thank you.
And this is Emily's second time. The first time we were in a hallway at Stand Up New York.
Yeah. Nice. It was very echoey. I saw your comments, some of you.
Oh, yeah. Some of them, they were like mad at me. Because
they were really bitchy. I gotta say, you know, this woman provides you with free entertainment.
Right.
And
I love you.
Sometimes, and she lives in fucking New Jersey. She comes in to do her shows. She lives a full fucking life. She's a healer. She's a comedian. She goes into the city to do her fucking spots. She is recording after a spot in a hallway with some bitch that you've never heard of just for your entertainment. And you have the audacity to complain about the sound quality? Because what? Because it's a little echoey? Because it sounds like people are opening doors? Because they are? Guess what? This is the reality
suck
of real life.
Dick.
Suck my nuts. This
Dick
is the reality of real life. When you talk to people, sometimes you're in public places. Sometimes people are walking around. Sometimes you need to get to a space
with each
other. Are you
paying for this podcast? I don't think so.
You're not.
No.
If you're going to pay her bills, get back to me.
This is how we ingratiate ourselves with our fans.
Everybody,
you know, I'm usually...
I appreciate it. Thank you for having
me. But on the other
back.
Hand, those of you who listen to my podcast now because you enjoyed me on her show, thank you very much. You guys are superstars.
Yes.
I'm not talking to you.
This is amazing. I'm usually the way more aggressive one. I'm going to play the soft personality type.
Yeah, you need to mirror me now. I will defend
so
Kate
aggressive.
Until the ends of the earth.
She lives in Jersey. Do you know how...
She is a mother?
There's tolls... She has to drive a fucking car.
She has to go to therapy just like the rest of us.
Yeah. Amen.
And that costs money, so shut your bitch mouth. Yeah. But also, namaste.
Well, I mean, you both just made my heart explode. Even when you guys walked in the door, I can't speak. I'm combining all these words. Mm-hmm. They both brought me a beautiful pink rose that like literally made me emotional. Because I don't know, Valentine's is coming up and I have no idea if I'm going to get anything, which is okay, because
here,
I already
bro.
Did, you know, and it was just so, I don't know, like meant a lot to me, actually. I was like, oh my God,
oh, good.
Two beautiful, talented women coming to my house with like a rose. What
totally.
A beautiful gesture.
Hey, I'll go down on you on Valentine's Day if you want me to.
it's not where this train was headed, Emily, but I really appreciate it.
Emily, you're taking on my entire personality.
You don't
out
to,
the gate, you're aggressive.
You don't have to say it
off-putting.
Now. I'm a sexual being.
Overtly
you're not
sexual.
A sexual being in here.
That's my brand.
I, no, I fucking hate that. But sometimes she's just like, you're not the sexual one. I'm just like, I fuck. You're like, do you think I don't fuck?
I don't think about you fucking.
Okay, well, I'm like decent at it.
Okay.
Like, I'm not like,
excuse
you know,
me.
I have moves.
Okay.
I'm not like, you know, out here peeing on dicks like you are.
Okay.
But
wait, you pee on dicks?
I have. Yes. I've peed on people. I mean, I didn't like, it wasn't just specific to the dick, but I have peed.
Right, the dick was attached to someone.
Sure. I've given a golden shower with my golden vagina.
In the shower or outside
oh, no.
of the shower?
In the bed.
So that's the real deal.
Yeah.
If you're doing it in the shower, it's like that's for babies.
Nah.
No. You gotta do it on a dirty mattress that you've pissed on before.
Oh my gosh.
And have zero inhibitions. Listen, I'm not saying you don't fuck, but I have a disease around fucking. So
right.
That's why it's more my brand.
Well, it's because I'm not out here like constantly shouting like I got fucked this weekend. I'm here.
Okay, you make yourself throw up from anxiety, and I piss
no, I
on
get
men.
Diarrhea from having anxiety.
Guys,
I made myself throw up because I was a bulimic.
Okay,
can you get your facts straight about
I'm
me?
Sorry.
God, you've known me for how many years?
Hold on, real quick. Mm-hmm. They both have an amazing podcast. You guys need to check out.
Oh yeah, plug.
I can
plug.
See your listeners just like turning it down.
No,
like, this
they're turning it up.
Okay.
You guys are. Their dynamic is one of my favorite, most magical things to witness. And like, you could be around it, and then you'll not see them for a month, and then when they come back, you're like, oh, that's right. This is the most amazing,
it's exactly
enlivening thing.
That's so nice of you to say, because I'm in it all the time, so I constantly think like, this must be so annoying. So thank you for
no.
saying that.
But let me. So your podcast is called the Hot Mess Podcast, or is it just Hot Mess?
It's the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But affectionately, you can call it Hot Mess.
Yeah.
I give you permission. We're on a first name basis.
Totally. And we started the podcast, how many, 2 years ago?
Three. Oh,
that's crazy.
Amazing. Where can people find it?
Anywhere you find podcasts. We just joined a network, actually.
Congrats.
The OG podcast.
OG. OG.
But yeah, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you're looking around.
Or go to ogpodcastnetwork.com.
Or go to our network website.
Mike Coscarelli, our producer, would really appreciate me plugging that.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. But we started it 3 years ago, right?
How'd you guys know each other?
We met through comedy and podcasting. We both interned at a podcast called Keith and the Girl.
Yes.
Which we had listened to. We'd been like weirdo podcast fangirls since we were like, I want to say 14, 15.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. From 2005 on. And back then, podcasting was like the nerdiest thing could possibly be into. Even like...
It was
gaming.
Like Dungeons and Dragons level.
But Dungeons and Dragons was even cooler, I think, because people at least knew what that was.
People looked
like
if
I was explaining
creep.
To somebody what a podcast was, they were like, you listen to people on the internet? Like, it's not, is it radio? Is it whatever?
Yeah.
Podcasts weren't even on iTunes, so it was like my dirty secret. Like, I would go to sleepovers and have my iPod and just like slip in my headphones when nobody was looking and like soothe myself to sleep with the voices of these people. Yeah.
Now they're like everyone's listening to podcasts because you can choose what your niche is.
Oh, yeah.
What,
yeah. Podcast kind of just exploded. And we were already like in that world because just from being in the Keith and the Girl community, it's like a really tight knit community. And then we interned for them and got really close to them. So when we wanted to start a podcast, they were like, hey, use our studio. And they kind of like showed us the ropes and everything. So that was really awesome. But then we were like, we need a theme. So we were like, what do we have in common?
We're
both disasters
as
human beings. Yeah. Andrea was just getting sober. She had been like this drunk, crazy person.
Yeah, you never really knew me like that. Which
I knew you at the
Congrats,
tail
I
end
didn't
of it.
Know that you were like in sobriety.
Oh, I mean, I
is
smoke.
That the way you say that? In sobriety?
Yeah, I know. It sounds like I'm a monk. Yeah. I'm in sobriety. No, I mean, I don't drink alcohol. I'm an alcoholic. But I smoke weed. I experiment with psychedelics, but I'm like a little trepidatious about drugs, anything beyond weed, because I know how I got out of control with alcohol, and I see the impulse in myself of like, this is fun. Let's ramp this up to a million until I destroy every relationship in my life systematically. So I had just gotten newly sober, and Emily was kind of in the throes of an eating disorder, or I don't know, you were just starting to deal with it. I feel like
I was just getting into like behavioral therapy for it, but I was still very much in it. So the first like 100 or maybe like the first 50 episodes, I was still like fucked up.
Yeah.
But I've gotten...
The way you say that is like it was the most fun party ever.
Like, I was barely alive. I was cold all the time. I was eating jars of salsa with Windex.
Emily just has a way of like saying something tragic as if it's like the best news ever.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you got to live a little. Yeah. Whether it's like driving yourself to the very edge of your sanity or having a great time. So,
It was...
I'm happy that I experienced that because I feel like I'm getting to the other side now, and I'm getting to a point with being able to deal with my anxiety and also with body image that I never thought that I would be able to get to. And I think that having hit kind of my rock bottom was the reason for that. So.
Yeah, I think we've both like bottomed out in certain ways throughout the podcast. The theme of the show is what makes you a hot mess. So we usually have a story or like, you know, a tete-a-tete with her and I in the beginning. And then we ask the comedian or whoever is on what makes them a hot mess.
And let me tell you, everyone has an answer.
Yeah.
Because everyone's a fucking hot mess.
We all are. Yeah.
Sure.
And I'm sure that's the point of your podcast.
Of course.
Like, it's so easy to look at someone else and be like, what a mess. Yeah. Meanwhile, in all of our personal lives, we have those messy areas.
Yeah,
and
you're
moments.
Just as messy. You might not be as open about it or whatever, but that's, we're very expository, clearly.
Clearly.
So that's kind of like the vibe of the show. But it's also like very goofy and fun, and you guys would like it.
Yeah. I feel like when I listened to Keith and the Girl when I was younger, it was the first time that I felt a connection to a stranger in that way, but also was like, oh, there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way. Like, it was the first time I'd heard people like really talk, especially because the radio is very false and mm-hmm. podcasting is like, oh, this person's being so honest right now. I'm really connecting with it. I feel less alone.
Yeah.
And that to me is like such a valuable, cool thing. So for our show, I was like, I hope to do that for people. You know, I want to have fun and entertain, but I also like it is important to like have, if there's a little girl out there that wants to stop drinking and piss on dudes, I want them to relate
just for
to
a
me.
Thrill.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm happy. I mean, there are points when I'm like, should I be exposing this much of myself? But then I think, you know, if I was just a casual podcast listener and there were people having open conversations about things that I experience, mm-hmm. it would help me through. And that's like very comforting to me to think about.
I think like alcoholism and eating disorders are two things
so common
that are very common. And also people don't like when women talk about it. Like there's a really, really a woman with a drinking problem is seen as like such a mess of a character compared to a man with a drinking problem. So I'm kind of like, and it's so common. There's so many women with drinking or substance abuse problems. And I'm like, it's just not fair that on top of the pressure of being like put together all the time as a woman, you can't even like freak out about the fact that you're fighting some sort of disease.
And well, then you're a crazy woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's back in like, I guess it was even like in the 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. women were placed in mental institutions just for being emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Too emotional. Or so we're still dealing with, obviously, not just
God, I want to go
men
to a
and
mental
women.
Institution.
No, you don't.
Right?
I do. How nice would it be?
This is not the first time you've said this.
Your rent is paid for. Uh-huh. You get all your meals brought to you.
Free drugs.
You get to be as loud as you want.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in these like really awful cinder block rooms. That
totally. I think
sure, but you can throw shit at it and it's fine. People probably clean it up for you.
I think if you throw things, you get straight jacketed.
Yeah.
True, but I've worn one before. It's oddly comforting.
It is oddly.
We did a photo shoot with a straight jacket on, and I got to tell you, it's like a hug.
It's like a weighted blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine after a while, not so much, but they do, when you like wrap a baby, mm-hmm. They do like the straight jacket tuck, but then
swaddle?
The baby kind of, and then the baby gets out of it.
Yeah, except for in a mental institution, you can't get out.
Yeah,
of it. They're taking
that's
your
the big
freedom
bummer.
Away.
Yeah, but like freedom's
I think
overrated.
You just don't want to.
No way.
I just think you don't want to adult. I think that's why you lash out in this way.
I mean, I think I do just fine.
Of course, no,
I do
you're
sometimes
doing great.
Think about it. Like if somebody were to come in, swoop me up, take me away to an institution, I don't. How hard I would fight it right away. I think by the time
just release you after a while.
Yeah.
Like, she's enjoying it too much. Yeah. She's asking us too many personal questions.
She's eating all our food.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's getting second helpings of things.
Yeah.
She's offering sexual
you
favors.
Could get fat again.
I could get fat again. Yeah. There's no photography in there. They don't want footage of that place.
You could be
that
your
place,
fattest
like
self.
This imaginary place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do kind of sometimes just want to get really fat.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Right.
So my grandmother was lobotomized because she had postpartum depression.
Holy shit.
Like, it is hard
That's
out
what
there.
I mean.
Yeah,
That's
yeah,
awful.
Yeah. It's so, I think that I feel strongly about, but we also, like, I don't know, as the show's progressed, it's sort of become this other animal that's also a lot about our relationship, which is fun to me.
Oh, you know? I love your guys' mm-hmm. friendship. It's the best.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hopefully we don't break up.
Yeah.
That'd be sad.
I'll still love you both. Okay.
It's teetering on the edge.
Thank you.
You can have, I was going to say shared.
Teetering on the edge.
I was going to say shared custody.
What are you
custody.
Talking about?
I was going to say shared custody, and then uh-huh. I realized there are two of us. She wouldn't need to share. We need shared custody of her.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening. You guys, because you're both so in your power separately as well. Like mm-hmm. you're not overly enmeshed or entangled. So it seems like you're both like, this is me, this is you. We can disagree,
yeah.
but it doesn't challenge me in this partnership. Like, mm-hmm. it seems like there's still room for you to grow separately as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to sound really gay when I say this.
Oh, my God.
In the truest sense of the word, but...
Are you going to be nice to me for a
yes.
second?
Yes. I'm going to throw you a bone.
Oh, my God. Finally.
I feel the way toward her. The relationship that I have with her is similar to the relationship that I would want with a romantic partner.
Yes, bitch.
She's been angling for it for so long.
Uh-huh.
In the way that I want to be a whole person but I want to, and I want to be able to openly admit when I need a minute away, when I can't maybe be around that person because it's too much, but I still know that I can always rely on that person and that they do bring out the best in me.
Yeah,
I really
of course.
Do think that.
Well, that's so sweet.
That's beautiful.
Well, that's another thing about when you say gay, like to use that term, like female friendships, I think we, one benefit we get in this world is that we can be really, really like, we can sleep in the same bed together.
Although people do ask us if we fuck constantly.
Yeah, because like, every man, when there's two
women, they just
want to
play out
friends,
their lesbian fantasies.
Yeah.
I can't blame them.
But something's
them.
Changing with women lately. I've noticed that a lot of my girlfriends suddenly have turned on their lesbian vibes. Like they're in an experimental, like a lot of women, and look, I'm 36, so a lot of my friends are like younger 30s or even late 20s, and something's happening. Even like I'll hang out with a girlfriend and before she'll have never put out flirty vibes to me, and like not big time, but I'm starting to pick up on, I'm like, is she flirting with me? Like, and I've never had that as much, and I'm not really the thing.
You've
I
never
am,
had a experience with a woman?
No, I have at a sex party, two sex parties. When I was married to my ex-husband, he very much so wanted more experimentation, and I didn't want it as much, but I was willing to find a compromise, and one of them was being in that environment, which I'm not against. Like, okay, let's go to this environment. I don't know how much I want to partake, but I'll at least be, it's sexually charged, right? So like, let me see if this does anything for me. And I like,
so were
made
you experimenting
out with a couple girls?
Oh,
it
you
didn't really
out.
Do anything for me. Like, it was like nice, like I was like, oh, it's like kissing a dude, like but it didn't, I wasn't like, oh yeah, this is it. I'm very monogamous, and I'm very much like, you know me, I'm very like twin flame, like I haven't had sex in a long time because I want it to be that thick, like I want it to be intense and amazing and hot. But
is
like,
there any part of you that thinks like maybe you'll like forget how to fuck?
No.
If it goes too long.
No. No, because it comes when you're in, because I'm, that's, you know why? Because I know, because when I have that thought, I'm like, no, I'm only going to do it if it's like that thing comes over me.
Right.
Where
right.
You can't even
the
stop
stomach
me.
Stomach flips.
Yeah. You're just like, get, fucking yeah, you're like out of control. So I'm like, out. Something else will take over. So I won't even have to be in my head. I'm just going to be like, let's do this.
I'm a little worried. Like, I just got out of a relationship and, I haven't had like casual sex in a while, and I am worried that I'm not worried that I'm gonna forget how to fuck, but I'm worried that I'm not gonna know the like beginning moves and like, ooh, I mean, I guess men do that, but
it'll probably be a little
weird?
Awkward,
yeah.
Like getting into it. Well, yeah, because I was sleeping with the same person for like about 6 months, and he had a cartoonishly large dick, so there was a lot of stuff that we could not do. There was a lot of missionary.
What a funny way to describe it.
I mean, this thing was like,
how big?
Whoa,
waka waka.
I think I just got hit in the face. Yeah, it was 9.5, 10 inches.
No.
Yeah. It was 9.5 inches, but flaccid. It was large.
That's
it was large.
Scary.
And it was funny because you would
Yeah, what if I run into a 9.5-incher?
You're going to have to, let me tell you what
and
you're going to do.
Skewered.
You get yourself some coconut oil.
Yeah.
This is what was
go,
so.
Is that what you use? Coconut oil?
To the
was
kitchen.
So
what a
crazy.
Healthy lube.
It's the best lube. It's the best lube. And it smells delicious. I mean, your vag smells like pudding
oh,
after.
Oh, yeah. It's like any UTI it probably takes care of. Sprinkle some essential oils in there, too. No, that could be burning.
Some lavender
oil. Get a little
oil
of oregano.
No, don't cook with it.
Yeah.
Oil of oregano.
Yeah, drip it out after. Put it in a pan. I take it to the next gross level.
Preheat
make
it.
Make some stir fry. The first time we slept together, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna happen. And then I had some lube in my desk drawer. So I take out my lube and he's like, what is that? And I was like, what do you mean? What is that? You should know. You should have lube in your pocket.
Yeah. How are you walking around with that fucking baby arm
I mean,
and you don't know what lube is?
You should be lubing it up before you get dressed in the morning just in case it like hits somebody on the leg by accident. Like you could injure somebody with that thing.
Do you think he was pretending to like not know? Like, oh, I don't even know.
He had never used it before.
That's crazy.
He was also kind of an idiot.
Oh, kind of?
That's why I had to end it because I was like, you just don't.
I think there
was
so much blood going to the dick at all times.
Not enough to the brain.
Like, not, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
You guys say it like it's a fact. You're like, yeah.
Listen.
Put it on a paper. Yeah. Publish it.
Yeah.
It's tell me I'm wrong. It's scientifically proven.
Sure.
Well, it's also, I think that it takes more blood to hold an erection if you have a large dick.
Yeah.
That it's.
I'm surprised you didn't pass
we're
out
We're not
and
making
die.
This a rule, guys. We're not. We're not.
No, but listen. But listen.
Listen,
I'm
guys.
You,
I have a science podcast.
Big dicks means you're stupid because the blood has to go to your dick. So the blood can't go to anywhere else. Okay? We said it. It's the truth. Goodbye.
Your brain deteriorates.
And our body's law.
Your dick absorbs the rest of your body and it starts with your brain.
No, but this
it's
is... But
soon it just sucks up your whole body. You're only a walking dick.
Yes. I mean, that's what that guy kind of was.
He kind of was a walking dick.
Yeah.
But I really do mean this. I mean, it would take a lot of energy for him to hold the erection.
Mm-hmm.
He
really?
Would pass out mm-hmm. right away. Yeah, because it takes more out of
no,
you.
No, honey, I've slept with dudes with dicks that size, and that did not happen.
He was also kind of an alcoholic.
He was weak.
He was weak?
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
He was a weak man.
physically?
Just like his... Everything about him was weak.
Guys, we're not doing this. We're not tearing apart a man.
Well, my point
no,
was,
but it's my
point,
favorite thing. No,
you know what?
No.
It doesn't even matter. I have no hard feelings toward this person. It's just like we're not.
Yeah, but now he has hard feelings.
Sure,
he's not. He never. I think he never even.
I don't think he knows how to use
to
a
our
computer.
Podcast. He never like was interested. He wasn't ever like really interested. And he said something after he came to our live show.
Mm-hmm.
He actually came to both, so he was like supportive. But
he was kind, but he was weak.
He was kind, but
no,
weak.
Andrea.
He said to me something really not nice after our live show, and I never told you about it because I knew that you would.
Was it something about me?
No, it was about me. Basically, he was saying that like you commanded the room better than I did, and basically like implied that you were funnier than me.
What?
And all this stuff. And I was like, I think I perform really well. And I also think like you want to be my boyfriend. Like you should probably be a little nicer to me. That's like, and he was so nice. He didn't realize the way it was coming off.
Well, then he is subconsciously
weak.
Not just weak.
Trying to keep me down or
it
something.
It makes me less laugh.
I'm looking at you yeah. dead in the eyes well, and I'm people, like, it's weakness, Kate. And I can smell it from a mile away. I'm my father's daughter. Don't you show me your weakness or I'll bury you.
Andrea, you're scaring me.
Mm-hmm.
She
okay. I have a scary
wait, well, we're going back to the subconscious. Okay, I don't want to lose this thought. A lot of times when people are rageful and don't know how to get it out, their subconscious will do things to hurt you, but then they're like, what? What? Yeah. And they like genuinely mean the what,
did
but
I
you're
do
like,
something?
You're like, am I the only one that witnessed that horrific thing you just did? Yeah. And then they get to play off like, I didn't do anything.
Why would that hurt your feelings?
Yeah.
From where I'm standing, it just seemed like it's whatever.
Rude as fuck.
Exactly.
It was really rude and it really upset me. And it really, yeah. But back to my original point, it was not my intention to shit talk this person. I was just trying to say that there were a lot of positions that we couldn't do and a lot of things we couldn't do sexually because the big dick, like I couldn't be on top because gravity just like it just hurt.
Yeah.
Unless there was like a lot of lube and a lot of prep.
I imagine
so,
it'd be like having sex with a plunger.
Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be more like a torpedo or like something hard and big.
Yeah.
But anyway, but so then afterwards, the person I most recently slept with, I was like, oh my God, there's like so many other things.
A whole new world.
Yeah. Don't you and dare close your eyes.
Hold a conversation with him and he's
but
not.
Close him a little bit because if you stare at me too hard, yeah. it's going to be scary.
No. Yeah. All I do when I have sex is direct terrifying.
Look at me. Look at me.
I could see you doing
match
that.
Match me or die.
I could see you doing that.
Really?
Intense. I don't know.
I can be pretty subby during sex because I'm so dominant in my regular life that I need to just take a moment.
You know, it's nice to not have to make decisions
for
a little while.
Smack me around. Maybe I'll pee on
you. You just take it to the next level, though. Uh-huh. You're like, I'd like to not make decisions. You're like, yeah, punch me in the face, motherfucker. I'm going to drink my nose blood.
I drank a friend's nose blood once.
No.
Yeah.
I can't believe I pulled on a real thing. No, Andrea.
I did.
Why? Was it like the deeper level of like blood sisters kind
of? Yes. It was like.
No way.
Okay. It was,
no.
There was. I feel very connected. This is probably.
See, you're not her closest friend now. She drank someone else's nose
blood. I did drink
someone else's.
So
you guys have to step
blood.
Up your connection game.
You want to eat my ass later?
Sure.
No, first you have to bleed out of it and then
only
she
if blood is involved.
We can make it happen.
I know we can. Believe me, I've done it before. But she just
I don't even know what to say.
Why believe you?
Here's the thing. I have a closeness. You know when you meet someone and they're just like amazing and you're like, I want to just burrow inside of you.
Drink your nose blood.
I just want all of you inside of me.
Yes.
And I want to be a part of it.
Like, I wouldn't kill her, but if she died and it was, I could eat some of her body. This is how strongly I feel about this person.
What's this person's first and last
name? See, Jeffrey Dahmer was just totally misunderstood,
I
guys.
I relate to him. I mean, I don't want to kill her, but if she dies by accident.
What's her first and
last
name?
Annie Zur. I don't know if you've met
her. I know her.
You know, did you, you've never I've met never her. I've never met her, but I know, you know of her. A lot. I met her when I was like 13 or 14.
Wasn't she like kind of a bully?
She was. She's super aggressive. She's very manic. She's super authoritarian and funny and insane. And I met her and I was like, I've never.
And you felt a connection to her?
I know. Well, I was. See, but I was quieter. And she like sussed it out in me. She's like, I know you're crazy. You're a weirdo. She would bully me a lot, but then she would also like raise me up. And she would bully me because she was insecure and we were like 14 or whatever. But we forged this like weirdo bond. And I don't know. She's just great. It's just a person, someone that I haven't met. I haven't met a lot of people like her. Don't get jealous.
I wasn't.
But we were drinking and partying together and she hit her head. Oh my God. and she started getting a nosebleed.
No.
And I just like, sometimes when I want to do something that's really not conventionally okay, in my head, I'll be like, oh, I dare you. Like it's this, I call it a self dare where I'm like, this is so wrong and you shouldn't do it. But like, how great and weird would it be if you did it?
It's like truth or dare, except nobody actually cares.
No one cares. I just want to do something gross. And so I internally dare myself. And so I remember it happened.
Were
in
you
slow-mo.
Hammered also?
Not drunk enough for this to ever be okay. And I just I grabbed the tissue with the blood out of her nose. And
no.
I just put it in my mouth.
But you didn't. So you only put it in your mouth. You didn't.
I
like,
swallowed
drink.
It. I no! Swallowed it.
You swallowed the I tissue. Swallowed I can't. I'm literally gonna throw up.
Andrea also had like a deathly fear of AIDS, which seems like you wouldn't.
They run counter
blood.
To one another. But I wanted to absorb her power so badly.
I don't even. Whatever.
Did it work?
I don't know. Maybe. How, I mean, how am I going to know?
Well,
I need
yeah,
a control group.
That,
I need to go back and not eat the bloody.
Or eat the blood of somebody you hate and see if you become somebody you hate, you know?
I don't think I want to do that.
I think, well, if you I were think we should just say to everyone in the listeners, like, yeah. Don't drink anyone's blood.
You know what I say? Like,
quick PSA.
This is Emily Lubin. I say, like, do whatever you want to do.
Oh, you know? You're right. No, like, you know what? You're right.
The desire overcame me and I can't. You know, I can't deny.
Listen, ultimately do what you want to do, but just really think hard before drinking someone's
like,
blood.
Before you make any type of decision like that, I think like wait 7 seconds. Yeah. You just give yourself like.
Or 7 hours. Yeah.
Or no, check your minutes. You don't always have that kind of time. Like you have to take baby steps. And I think that, you know, you might really feel the urge. Just sure. Like wait 7 seconds. Like ask yourself if that's really the thing that you want to be doing.
It all stems from the same place of my impulse control problems. And going crossing lines is something I like to do.
No, well, you know where I stand with that.
Yeah, and I know it's not. I've toned down a lot of that as I've gotten older, but it's still like very much there. But that was like a particular being drunk, you know, gave me a little bit more confidence in pulling. I also knew that she wouldn't. Yeah, I know, right? Shocker. I also knew she wouldn't judge me, which is weird. And she didn't. She made fun of me, but she was like, "You're a lunatic." But also, like, of course you did that. Like, she also, I went. She came to visit me in New York once, and she ended up having a threesome in my apartment.
With who?
With a friend of mine, a male friend of mine, and another female friend of mine. They were all visiting, and they had a threesome in my apartment, and I was like, how funny would it be? I was in the living room having sex with someone else and they were having a threesome in my bedroom. And I was like, how funny would it be if I just kept opening the door naked and being like, hey guys, and then closing it. And she was like, did you
really wanted to be in that threesome? Right?
I did. Like, well, I just wanted to like be included or I don't know. I have this weird.
You're like, Andrea, nobody wants you in this
threesome.
She would.
They made fun of me forever, but I don't know. I just with her, I just always want to like
to get like to yeah push. To get excluded from a threesome. I'm not saying that's what
that
happened.
You're hosting.
I was being excluded.
No, that's like extra. You're like, wait a second. Okay, so this couple's not that they're a couple, but it's yeah. like one thing when like a couple, you know, you're like, okay, they're a couple, but mm-hmm. when there's like a threesome and they're like, yeah, but this is still closed.
This is sacred, and
which makes sense.
You're not included,
and but it's like, in your apartment. I mean, it's like if you were throwing a party and people were like, "I'll just sure. go in the kitchen. Like, we don't actually want to talk to you."
I was also fucking someone in my living room, but I was like, "I want to see what they're doing." Like, I don't know.
But you couldn't make the threesome a fivesome.
No,
that would have been
that
too
would
bold.
Be bonkers. I mean, in at retrospect, that probably might have been the move.
No, I think you did exactly what you were meant to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows where you would be
right.
if that had happened.
If it had
that could
developed
have set
into
off.
A full-blown gangbang. Yeah.
Who knows? You know, you might be gangbang Andrea if that had happened. Like, that's your new thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that to be yeah. my life.
I don't think I have any female friends that I would want to be sexual with.
I don't even, I just want to. Yeah, I think I really admired her, and so I wanted to like be close to her in any way possible.
Okay.
And you know, but that's also like a younger version of me. I don't think I would bust into your threesome now.
Thanks.
But I would cheer from the outside and be like, "You're doing great."
Emily, would you have a threesome?
Two dudes, yeah.
But so, not a dude and a girl.
I don't think so.
Two dudes. That's pretty ballsy.
I know, right?
It is,
pun intended.
Dice.
Hey.
Four balls.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it a lot. It would need to be like the right situation, and I've never come close. But I've thought about like it would be so baller to have it with two dudes. I'm not really into chicks, and don't really feel like sharing a dude with another chick. But I do get into like the idea of watching somebody that I've already been sexual with like fuck another chick. But I wouldn't want to be involved. I guess that's kind of like cuckolding.
Yeah, it is cuckolding. Yeah.
But if it were an actual threesome, then two dicks.
How would you feel if you were having a threesome with two dudes and then they started doing shit to each other? Do you think that do you still be into it, or would you suddenly be like, oh? Do you know what I mean? Because another switch goes on in your brain if you saw them starting to like suck each other's dicks or kiss or whatever.
I don't think she would like that. I think I would love it.
I think I would think it was awesome. But really? I wouldn't be turned on by it, but I would be like, oh, this is fucking great.
You'd be like, this is progressive.
Yeah. Look at how the cards just unfolded in front of me. Like, I think I'd be in it for more of the story.
Yeah. That's what a lot of threesomes kind of are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I could ever do it. First of all, I am the most monogamous person ever, so that's already. Mm-hmm. But like, trust me, once again, I showed you guys labia game. I'm very sexually like aggressive and owning it, but I think emotions wise it would be
interest,
so
though.
Much I think even if I was like in a relationship and then we try to bring in like another guy, because not another girl, because I would punch her in the face, I'd be so jealous, like my jealousy is there, so like I just would hate, like I'd be like, oh, was she bad at, like I that thing would happen.
I don't know how I would react to that either. I think I would feel weird.
I'd be I'm just so like, when I'm in love, I'm like, you know, I have that thing.
You
want to
eat their nose blood tissue?
I don't know. Well, emotionally, not actually, but
they're just a pairing of nose blood.
But yeah, like I just think even with two dudes, my dude and like another dude, I don't know. I might start crying. I'd be so overwhelmed.
It's a lot of like stimulation.
Yeah. Like I might like get a bad headache, like literally, because it's like,
I can't
when
have
I
a
have
threesome,
sex,
I
I'm
going to
be like
headache.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? You know when you like do have you ever been in an environment like a concert
or
something?
Yeah, of course.
It's like everything gets so hyped up that when you leave, you're like,
that
swirling,
was a lot of stimuli.
And then you get a headache for like a day. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like afterwards I'd be like, it would just be too much recalibrating for my system.
It's also like a little, I would fear that it would get a little rapey. It would have to be the most chill guys for me to do that, because it's not, I don't know, that's a lot of like sexual energy from men coming at you.
That's what I mean.
And it's, I worry about all of a sudden they're also bigger than you, and it's just like,
It would need to be the right situation. Like, it would need to maybe be somebody that I'm sleeping with, and then somebody so that I would know, like, we already have maybe he has a protective thing over me that he wouldn't let somebody hurt me or disrespect me. Like, it would need to be the right situation. I wouldn't just let like a couple of handymen come in and fuck
me. Oh, you wouldn't?
That's such a poor.
Who are these handymen?
Yeah.
That are, you know, like, around Brooklyn trying to have threesomes.
Like, I just want to let, like, the two pizza guys that deliver pizza at the same time.
Eric and Josh, the two that I specifically request every time I order pizza.
I'd like Eric and like, Josh to deliver.
And they're like, why do you need two pizza guys, Emily? And I'm like, I ordered a lot of pizza.
And by pizza, I mean it's my pussy.
The only threesome I ever had was like a.
It didn't even make sense what I said, by the way. Sorry. I just thought about what I said.
The
and
pizza
didn't make sense.
Is my pussy.
Yeah, the pizza would have to be dick. I don't know.
They're
so
not.
I just wanna,
yeah, they're not delivering your pussy.
It's you're my pussy it and the box. Lots
well,
of my pussy.
That's where you're taking the power back because you're the one who's going to deliver the pussy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're delivering the pizza. The delivery guys.
And they're dicks.
Mm-hmm. Like a calzone, would that be appropriate?
That's, I mean, that's more of like visually
a mozzarella stick.
Give me your calzones. Yeah. It sounds way more dick-like than your pizza.
If I ever sleep with an Italian again, I'll have to bring that.
Can you deliver me some hot calzones
with a little bit of
some cheese and marinara and nose blood, bitch?
Oh my God, can we prank call some people right now and just be like, hey, I want to order a pizza.
Yes.
Pussy. I mean pizza.
Okay. I love a good prank call.
I've done it in years.
Me neither.
It's so fun.
I used to call 1-800-MATTRESS and just be like, I need a fucking full-size mattress because I have 6 kids. And I like, I used to just
that's
like,
not a prank. That's sad.
I used to just like.
This is why I love Emily. Is because she's a fucking lunatic. Like this other girl I was talking about, her crazy was outward. Emily's crazy is facing inward, and then she'll flash it to me every once in a while. And that's I beautiful. Find that to be delightful. There's something about an introvert that has all these weird skeletons in their closet that appeals to me so much as a person. Because they don't, not everyone knows them like you know them. And when they tell you, she always has like these fucking crazy stories and she'll withhold them from me. And then every once in a while, she'll like lay one down. I'm always open.
Well, so just like, I don't really particularly feel the need unless I, you know, if I'm closer to someone, then like I want to share things with them. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just like.
But
the-
you hide things, though.
What do you mean?
Like you'll wait to tell me something till weeks and you're like, hey, do you know what I did?
Well, that's something different. That's like sometimes I want to be able to, or a lot of the time, actually, I want to experience things and process them. It takes me longer to process things. That's what my special ed teacher said in high school. Mm. It takes me longer to process that. I don't want somebody else's input until I'm ready to that share it with sense. Them and have their input. I just want to like process it on my own. But that's it definitely it can be a negative thing. Like my mom says that all the time. She's just like, you never ask for help. You never like let me know what's going on. And it's like, it's not that I don't want to let you know what's going on. It's just that sometimes I can't take all this outward input and I don't want like I just want to be able to process things internally before I seek external.
Yeah, you also tend to feel as if asking for help is you being a burden too sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, if you're a burden, then how am I not a huge burden to
you?
Because I'm fuck you.
I mean, it's a burden that I take on. Are we taking over your show right now?
I am so enjoying watching your guys' dynamic.
Like,
no, I love it.
Am I a burden?
You're fine. I mean,
you guys just start melting down for real. And it's like you start crying and I'm still just watching and not talking.
Like, okay, I think they'll come around. Yeah, I don't know. But I think there's something interesting to me about an introvert.
No, I get what you're saying is someone who isn't always sharing everything quite like you and I do. Mm-hmm. But then when it does, it's gold.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Hmm.
And I just want to say also about the threesome things, I feel like I think I made this clear, but I just want to let the listeners know because I don't want to feel fraudulent, is I am so monogamous. I don't think I would ever. I'm someone who likes to fantasize about situations, but then when it actually comes down to it, I don't think I'd ever want the person I'm in love with and another person's dick in the room. Like, I genuinely think it would. It's hot when you think about it.
Of
like,
course.
I get why it's hot. I'm not like an.
You don't have to have threesomes. Like, you can do whatever.
I feel
you're
like less of a woman,
with.
But there I feel are like two I should be
men
cool
outside.
And I understand that. Like, I have had that tendency in the past. I mean, I'm a pretty down bitch. Like, I'm pretty like open
I heard
to
you.
Things,
I heard
and
yet about I feel I'm not that. I'm not down enough to threesome it.
There are certain things that I mean, even me saying like I'm pretty much zero attracted to women. Like, I don't want to make out with a woman. I don't want to. It almost makes me feel like I'm not current. Like, I'm not on trend.
Sure. You're not trending right now.
I'm not, or I'm not open. But the thing is, I am open. It's just I know what I want and what I don't want.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think you can.
Thank you. I need to own it more.
You can choose your own adventure.
Yeah, I think there's a pressure. Like, years back, so I used to write this column called Ask a Slut. Years back. Terrible writing. Don't check it out. But I went on a podcast, and I was with another woman who also wrote a sex column, and they were like, oh, tell us about Ask a Slut, blah, 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 and, like, tell us about your sexual experience. And I hadn't had much, like, I guess I tend to, like, draw outside the lines when it comes to sex sometimes, but I wasn't.
Well, and you had a lot of partners, but maybe not a lot.
I was still young, and this woman was like, oh, you haven't even had a gangbang? How can you call yourself? And I was like, all right, relax. Like, being progressive.
Well, Andrew, if you haven't had a gangbang,
like, what are you even doing?
Like, you call yourself sexually free?
I mean, that's what it is, though. There's a lot of this pressure.
That's what I can feel it a little bit.
Well, like, because I think we're rallying against, like, slut shaming in a lot of ways. Like, we want to be able to express our sexuality, whatever it may be. And there is, it's kind of like women who have a drinking problem, or women speak openly about their issues, women who speaking about their sexuality. For a long time, people were like, ew, gross, women aren't allowed to do that. And I think now we want to talk about it a lot, because it's like, we want to exercise our freedoms, but some women push it or people push it further, like, what, you're not even poly? Like, there's this weird pressure to, like, somehow embrace all this alternativeness. It doesn't make you a closed-minded person if you don't identify with alternative lifestyles. I think if you shun them, sure, but I like,
yeah, do what makes you happy.
Yeah,
like, if you shouldn't be doing something that you think is more, you shouldn't be doing something, quote, alternative, just because you think it makes you more evolved. Mm-hmm, if it doesn't in the end make you happy. Like, if you want to be the type of person that is poly or in open relationships or eats people's blood tissues.
Okay, those are very different.
That's the type of person that, was a that friendship you want to be. Token but
that was there.
If you're the type of person that doesn't and you want to be monogamous, you don't want to have threesomes, like, just fucking do you.
And it can evolve and change. Sure. And yeah, but I love that point. It's just about doing what makes you happy. But, like, it's just interesting. As I'm getting ready to show a very sexual side of me, it's an interesting dichotomy to have not had sex in so long. And some people misread that, like, oh, so that's all bullshit. I'm like, no, that's real. That's my sexuality. Those are my words. But I also don't want to, at this point in my life, have sex that feels casual in any way. I've done it. It sucks for me. I end up weeping for days, feeling the collective wounds we shared.
Yes.
Like, it's not, it ends up being, I'm like, oh, great. I'm glad that was a great 15-minute experience. And now I am gutted out on my bed feeling both of our pain. Like, I'm just like this. And then like going in, if I knew it didn't work, you know, like when you first meet, you're like, oh, this isn't going to work. But then you have sex and suddenly you're like, maybe it can. Maybe it doesn't matter that this hormones. Age difference. And I'm like, I don't want to get swept up in something that I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal. And then So for me, I'm still a very sexual being, but I want it to be under the madly in love, both wild and safe blanket.
Of course. Yeah.
I respect that journey because I am not doing that.
But I have been there too. Like I said, I just got out of a relationship with a partner who we had sex and we had a sex life, but it wasn't like wild like a lot of the other guys. And I'm like, I can also exist in this area.
Yeah.
This is nice and this is what I need at this current moment. Like, I've noticed with like lesbianism specifically, or women hooking up with other women, sometimes it's like, let's make out in front of guys to show how desired we are, or to say that we're more into other women in order to showboat that we're like sexual objects. And that,
because we need to be seen as more sexual.
Sure,
objects.
We gotta ramp it up.
Like,
yeah,
I wish that I could like walk down the street and just people would just see yell me at as a me. Giant pussy.
Yeah,
like, I really wish that I could be seen that way.
Go in that direction
in society.
Mm-hmm. I want to. Yeah, I'm.
You want to make out?
Yeah, it's hot.
I'm just once again. I'm like, you don't have to prove it to me.
We're very sexual. Yeah, but it is a fine line. Like, I have a lot of material that is about sex in my comedy, and I want to be able to talk about it because it is a part of my life, but I also feel this judgment of like, oh, here's a woman talking about sex again, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know, it's never ending.
We all like talking about sex, especially when it's done in the quote unquote right way. And for me, right is like people just being open and not do it. Like some people talk about sex in a way, for I guess there's no wrong way to talk about sex, but when some people talk about it in a fake way where they're just like, it's the equivalent of two girls making out where it's like, yeah, I just like to suck dick.
Yeah.
And then you like stare and there's like an awkward pause and you're like, oh, you're trying to get a reaction out of me.
Right.
Instead of just being like, this is my shit. This is what I'm into. These are my preferences. Instead of just being like, yeah, you know what I like? I like it when a guy eats my asshole and then like I like fart on it. And then I'm like, yeah.
All I do is fuck.
Yeah, all I do is fuck, bitch.
I want you to do a whole show in that voice and with that cadence and that vocabulary.
Hey, guys.
Just so a first-time listener would think that's really you. Like, I think that would be the funniest prank.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy.
I am Caleb and I love eating ass.
Today we're going to talk about fucking, because guess what I love? Fucking.
Oh my god, so do we. Andrea, I love fucking. Do you love fucking?
I mean, there's nothing better than fucking.
Do you want to order a pizza?
I prefer calzones.
Two hot rods and mozzarella sticks.
I have Josh and Eric on the other line. Hang on a second.
That voice is such a thing. We always talk about that.
It is so... It's gross like how much it turns people
on. Yeah.
Does this turn you on?
It's weird.
Vocal
fry.
It's so druggy. It's like someone just got chloroform before they go out.
Yeah.
It's like I have a vibrating egg between my legs. Right
yeah.
Now.
It's like I'm a sex.
I don't sound like that. Wait, if I had a vibrating, I wouldn't be like, yeah.
You'd be like, whoa, shit.
No, but I think
I might go quiet. Like, yep.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever make that noise, but I do think that a lot of women, when they get to certain sexual pit, they kind of lose their voice. So I think it is mimicking, like a sexual response.
Well, it's also like it's in porn. It's like it's sort of ingrained into.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it's also like
it sounds
I'm
druggy.
A little. It's does, also like I'm a little baby.
Like,
rape me.
I had a friend in high school. Yeah. I had a friend in high school who her entire voice would change whenever she spoke to her boyfriend, and it's like she wanted him to think. He was older than, like, a lot older than her. He was, like, 18 and we were 14. It was, like, on the...
Yeah. A little questionable?
Yeah. I mean, I think that might even be illegal, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying any names. Mm-hmm. and she changed her voicemail recording to, like, hey, you've reached Alex's cell phone. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm a little busy, but... It was like pretty
I can't
much
come to the
that.
Phone right now because I'm in fuck. Yeah. So I'll call you back when I'm done getting fucked.
Just leave your
bye.
It's infantile, and that creeps me out about it too. Like I see when I look at porn now, it's all like step dad fuck. It's all
I'm wearing
like
knee
it's
socks
going
I'm
in a weird direction that I'm like,
I don't mind the titles. If you want to go weird with me, go weird. There are very few porns that are sexual. They're all sex,
yeah,
but it doesn't feel like it's like I'm gonna put it in, yeah, I'm gonna put it in, I'm gonna put it in. Yeah. I want real, like, I want to see what it's really like in a hot way. That's why every now and then you get like a really good movie with an awesome sex scene where they even show some dick or puss. Those are the good ones because they're actual actors that are into it. I mean, even they're not, they're just such good actors.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not really doing anything either.
No, there's some. Did you see Blue is the Warmest Color?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Oh my god.
Oh yeah,
they show his penis coming out, whether it was actually in.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean though, like they could even take it further. I'm down with actual sex in movies and just getting rid of porn.
Yeah,
it's very American too, because I mean that's a French movie, and the French have a very different attitude about like I mean a lot of things in filmmaking is different.
Laissez-faire
in foreign films, but
to
like
use their own language.
Particularly that, like, they show sex in a way that somebody who has never watched a foreign film might watch that and be like, this is long and drawn out, and like that sex scene was just 18 minutes long, and like I don't really get the point of this. Love and this it. Is kind of too much. But I personally think like there is value of showing the way that something actually goes down just for the sake of showing it. There's value in showing nudity just so that you have a fucking naked person on a screen and that's their body. And it's not necessarily like, not everything needs to be for the purpose of jerking someone off.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah.
There's, well, that movie, there's also a movie that I am like very turned on by.
Oh yeah.
Vampire-y stuff. And that was like something that's like one of I share all my sexual history with my partners. It's also like they can listen to the podcast. So I'm like, well, I got to tell you now. I've been around the block. But like I was so embarrassed with my last boyfriend is we were watching oh my God, Queen of the Damned. And it's like so, it's so corny. It's so corny.
Is that the one with Aaliyah?
Yes. Yeah. And there's like this sexual scene. It's like Deftones. The music's like, and they're doing, they're like swirling around each other because they're both vampires and like biting each other. And my boyfriend at the time like looks over at me. He's like, you're like getting into this, aren't you? And I was like, yes, this is my shit. It's romantic.
I gotta admit, I never got into the vampire stuff.
I got so into it.
I know it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know,
it's the story.
I mean, I'm into vampire stuff, but especially Twilight, which is a whole other vampire vibe. Uh-huh. It's Twilight like vampires like, teeny bopper style.
Yeah, Twilight like, is abstinence porn. Like,
they have sex, okay?
And eventually, yeah. Like in part two of the fourth, but you have to wait like five movies for them to
I like fuck. It. I was ready by then. Because mm-hmm. I have the book, so I like reread too. Like mm-hmm. the sex scenes in the books, it's not that they're graphic at all, but like you can feel, like they describe sure, the they build feeling the tension. Of it.
Kate, so beautiful. You reread those books. There are like grammatical mistakes. Like,
they're the best books ever. No, I love them. I love them. They've changed my life and uh-huh. they've gotten me through many a dark times.
Do you wipe them out? The
pages are all weathered.
Like, do you at least get some kind of
educational
value?
You do not fuck
value?
With Twilight, Emily, okay?
You're stepping in a sensitive territory, yeah. Emily.
I love
Back
them.
The fuck off.
It's literature. It's mm-hmm. beauty. Uh-huh. It taps right into this part of ourselves, these romantic parts we're so ashamed of. Because there's...
Yeah.
Real romance has a corniness to it.
Of
it
course.
Does. But mm-hmm. we hate that part of ourselves that can be like... Do you know what I mean? The part that's like, the yes, I will be yours
oh
forever.
Oh my God. Yeah, I hate
I know
like corniness
you
it's
really
so...
do
but we all have this corny we're all corny romantics. At least there's a place within every single one of us. Most of us at a certain age go like, that can't be me anymore, that hurt me, or that I looked stupid or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like that to me is why I love Twilight, is like the corn, like I want that, like in my twin flame. I'm not gonna say we're gonna be corny completely, mm-hmm. but I want to have a corniness within it where I'm like, you are literally like, I want to describe him to him as like the most
right
in the most romantic terms. And I want him to be like, good morning, my rose flower sunshine poodle puff. Mm-hmm. not really. But
poodle
do you know
puff.
What I mean? Like, what can I say? Poodle puff.
Well, last time
part
I spoke to you when you were on our podcast, you were talking about like telling someone that you love them without not knowing that they'll say it back. Emily's playing footsies with me right now. Not knowing or knowing that they probably won't say it back, and just being like, and giving them flowers and serenading them with attention. And that stuck with me for a while because I used to be like that when I was younger, mostly because I had like no, but I think that's how we all like, again, like we're, me and Emily are both single now. We're out there like dating and texting.
We're out there laying pipe.
Yeah, sure. Right?
Pizza.
We're out there.
You're laying pizza, not calzones,
I've had
Emily.
Pizza every night this week.
I mean, good for you.
But there's a part. Hey, are you delivering my hot steamy calzone? Tony and Ara.
You're making me really hungry.
My dating,
yeah, I'm hungry too.
My dating apps are
for
just Domino's.
Hey, are you guys hungry? Because I'm so thirsty.
Can I have a gallon?
I need to be
cola?
Filled. I need to be filled now.
It's really drying my mouth.
You know what? You know what can make my mouth more lubricated? Your salmon.
Get out the coconut oil
and the cinnamon sticks.
No, but I think you know, we the reason why we're able to be that vulnerable when we're young is
I love
because
that we went from uh-huh. there. Anyway, back to vulnerability.
Feelings.
Yes, let's talk about
the
it.
The reason why we're able to be that vulnerable when we're young is because we've never been hurt before,
right?
So we don't really know, like, oh, this could be potentially really
oh,
bad.
Devastating.
So it's really yeah. hard.
Not to speaking from experience or anything. Yeah. Not that I've ever been knifed in the heart before. I don't know what that's like.
Julian!
I start eating the rose, you guys. Uh-huh.
Wow, I love how you went there.
I want to consume it. Yes. Like the nose blood.
Andrea, bleed on it first, and then I'll eat the rose. Thorns first.
Okay, I agree, but
my neighbors are like, what the fuck is happening?
Listen.
She's normally so quiet and respectful.
You invite us into a house, who knows what's going to happen? It's probably going to be really loud. Things are going to get out of control. But yes, and I understand as you get older, you're wiser about like who you expose yourself to because you understand who's more troublesome or what's worth the risk or whatever. But it's also like, I don't know, I'm on these like dating.
I had my hat.
Are you
between
even
my
listening
legs.
To me right
no,
now?
No, I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you finish.
Okay.
But I had my hat between my legs, and then suddenly I was like, "Why is my pussy warm?"
I was like, "Why?" She took it out. Was like, she just pulled a hat out of her pussy out of nowhere. Like she went like this. She went.
You looked
like
at
she
it
just
like
found it in her vagina. Like someone planted it there. Do you know what I mean? So that's
that
why I laughed because she was like.
Like,
I'm making a really deep point.
She gave us such a nasty look, like it sexually molested her without her permission. It was so funny.
I can never wear that hat again. It molested me.
I'll take it.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
We were talking about vulnerability.
There's always, but I think that it's important to still be open to that type of vulnerability. And yes. like when I'm texting a guy back and forth and he doesn't text me for a few hours, I get all like I'm back to that
oh my god, and guess who has to take those calls?
Okay, like you don't
the hat
vulnerable.
No.
Yeah,
I totally do. No,
hat.
I totally do,
but I just think the other person's feeling a degree of that too. We're all assholes running around trying
to
get our
feelings.
We can't
just admit that we're all assholes.
Sure,
you know?
Send a picture of your asshole and clear the air.
I definitely wouldn't do that.
Uh-huh. I've done that also.
I'm not saying okay, I don't want to talk about that, but I was going to go, whatever.
You're definitely telling us after.
You're like, I definitely.
Once off air. Okay. And I've sent myself, trust me, when it comes to pictures and I'm in a relationship, I will send pictures.
Yeah.
I'm an artist.
You're such a prude, and that's what I really don't like about you. You're not progressive. It's like, oh, you want someone who loves you.
I am sticking now that flower in my asshole, shitting it out.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten my angles right. That's my problem.
All right, well, we're going to take a really fun picture, by the way, to promote this podcast. Uh-huh. So we're going to get angles fucking popping up in this place.
Yeah, you have great
but
angles.
What I'll say about the vulnerability on their podcast, I went pretty into an experience of where I was confessing my feelings to an ex.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know at all what the outcome was going to be. And I still don't necessarily know.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't matter is what you were saying is like,
yeah.
The point was my feelings are my feelings regardless of anything else. So if they're my feelings and that's my truth, I'm going to say them. So if I'm texting someone and then they vanish for 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever,
mm-hmm.
there's this part of us that goes, don't say anything. You're going to look stupid.
Right.
But if those are your feelings and every single one of us can relate, whatever side you're on, you're allowed to be like, hey, kind of hurt my feelings when I didn't hear from you.
For a day, Phil. Sorry.
Okay, Phil.
Uh-huh.
Phil, do not fuck with her.
I had somebody not text me for a week. I didn't want to talk about this, but
whoops, gotcha.
It's fine. I've been sleeping with someone for like I don't know, like a month or something, and he didn't text me for a week, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna be that girl anymore because I've been the girl in the past that's just like, he hasn't texted me for 3 days. I'm gonna desperately try to get his attention and try to like,
or try to be too cool. I don't even care.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was like,
everyone sees through that, by the way. You know what I mean? It's like by doing that, not like everyone, I'm not like calling you out, but.
No, I first of all, I,
uh-huh.
I think I that you. My inclination was like, I don't think it was wrong. I think that I'm in a place that I don't want to be like chasing somebody. If you want to disappear, I want to let you disappear. And whatever.
There's a balance between the two. There is.
But
yeah.
The problem was I left a pair of gloves at his house. So eventually it was like I was in this game of chicken and I had to text him because I needed my gloves back.
Did
but
you get them?
Yes. But so I was like, this
did
is.
Did you also get that, Nick?
I didn't get.
Didn't she get a long talk?
I had a long talk. Well, this is how I'm.
I take back my stupid.
No.
I was thinking about it.
Don't take that back.
I was thinking about it. The thing is,
I was just trying to be cool like you guys. I just want to be a cool poly freak.
Kate.
Mom, my friends don't think I'm cool anymore.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
You're the coolest.
I look up to you so much. Don't.
We're all gonna start crying right now.
This is how we're gonna end.
But
I love you guys everybody. So much.
But anyway,
can we order pizza?
Just cry and watch a movie. Yeah. I don't want to have a 5 cent.
Yeah. I don't even think I could handle
it. We can invite the pizza guys over and they can suck each other's dicks while we eat the pizza.
Yeah. And watch and be like, wow, good for you.
Go, Tony. I thought you were the bottom.
Good technique. You're really yeah. getting in there.
We'll save you one slice to share. Uh-huh. But anyways, so
the future's female boys.
Suck each other off.
Am I allowed to finish my story?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay.
My plan was I was just going to go over there, get my gloves and leave. But he ends up like drawing me back in because every time I'm in the same room with this person, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so attracted to you. Mm-hmm. And I end up having like a 2-3 hour conversation when I didn't even think I was taking my coat off. Like, mm-hmm. So I end up, you know, having to refuse. He's like, at one point he's like, come here. And I'm like, no, because I know if I get closer to you, then you're going to start making out with me. And then I don't. Yeah.
I can feel the story in my vagina. Mm-hmm. Talk yeah. about honesty. I'm going to let you know. It started vibrating when you started yeah. talking about your talks.
And you're like,
how long are the emotional yeah. talks?
I know. Right?
Yeah. Hours. Hours.
If you can give good emotional talks. Oh, you'll have
2-3 hours. And, I'm already coming.
Yeah. You know, as seriously. Andrea just said, like, I have trouble connecting with people like that. It's very rare. So
everyone has trouble connecting. Everyone feels insecure. Everyone thinks that they're never going to find someone who appreciates them for who they are. It's an universal. I think that like because you had a not great relationship and you haven't had a lot of like quote unquote serious relationships in a lot of ways.
I haven't had serious relationships.
So you feel like there's something deficient within you. It's not the case. It's just like that's life. You know, I used to feel this way too. And I would say I've had longer relationships than you, but I don't know if I've ever had like one that I would consider so like
deep?
I think yeah, I mean I've had deep moments and I've loved people, but I think connection is rare with everybody. I think it's hard to connect with friends, you know. I think that you have this feeling since you haven't been in a quote unquote committed or serious relationship that you're incapable of it or there's something deficient within you. But I mean, you are in a serious relationship with another woman, so clearly you're capable of it.
I'm capable of it, but it's rare is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But the point is I ended up being really,
I think you put it on you though. You always think that there's something up with you and it's not.
Well, there can be things up with me and there can also be things up with other people.
So wait, so what happened? So tell us. So what happened?
So anyway, I end up in this long conversation about like, you know, if you leave me in the dark for an entire week, then I'm going to think like, does this person even care who I am? Do you even like me or do you just want to fuck me and then kick me out of your apartment? Or like, what exactly are you looking to do? Because it communicates a really clear message. And then he basically like kind of turned it around on me in a way that mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if it was genuine or not. He was like, well, I would have liked to hear from you. Like I had the same feelings about you. I wasn't sure if you were, if you wanted to see me again or whatever. So I would have appreciated a text from you just as much as you would have appreciated a text from me. And then I was like, why don't we just fucking text each other when we feel like it? I just had this moment that I was like, why don't I just do what I fucking want?
That's my point. That's what I'm saying with the whole owning your feelings is like, so in those situations, a lot of times we suck it up and go, oh, if I say something, I'm going to chase this person away.
Yeah.
But that person's going to get chased away. You have to find out sooner than later, I think, if you guys are compatible. And the only way is through the actual communication, which you guys ended up doing is like text when you want, say how you feel kindly. You don't have to yell it. And then see if you're actually compatible. Some people love going weeks or whatever, you know, without reaching out. And some people love the constant communication. And it's just about finding the person that works for you, but you can't even do that when you're hiding your truest. I'm not saying you do that, but like we've all probably been in situations, especially in the beginning of dating, like, oh, if I let this person see who I really am, then
I don't
want to
come
away
on too strong. Sure. Well, but on the other side of the coin, I had somebody come on way too strong with me.
Then they're not for you though, at least in that moment.
Right. Cause if it was for you, you'd like it. You'd be like, he's texting me all the time. I love talking to this guy. You just didn't like him. So the fact that you didn't like him was magnified by the fact that he was like, you already felt that way. And then him communicating with you a lot turned you off more because you're like, I already don't like you. I'm hearing from you all the time. I know I can. There's definitely a thing to, in the beginning, a little bit of like cat and mouse, or we're just naturally like, it's like a supply and demand thing. We just naturally kind of want things that are not as easy to get sometimes, I feel, in the beginnings of relationships. But that type of like, I don't know, holding back and then giving, I shouldn't happen. You should get comfortable at a certain point, you know?
Yeah. I think we're all looking, and then we kind of have to wrap up. We're all looking for a certain flow, right? Where it's like an equal-ish flow where you're both kind of... Yeah, but like where
like
you're both
blood through
you're
your
giving
nose.
And receiving. Yeah, well, not well. That's a different level.
Sure,
the real teacher, Kate. Sure, yeah. Okay, Andrea.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the class,
you don't even know how many talks that I got like that when I was
sure.
Kid.
Yeah, that's very creative. Now listen, kids. But no,
okay,
you know what I'm saying.
Put a pin in that, and
I like that interpretation.
Yeah. Maybe after school we can do art enrichment for that project.
If you want to do that for extra credit, we can talk about it later.
Maybe you can paint with your nose blood.
We're
sure.
Gonna put your parents.
I'm gonna talk
in.
To you. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I'm just gonna make sure
deal.
Your parents are cool with it.
I'm gonna give you a form. Bring this home to your mom and dad. Yeah.
Please bring it signed for tomorrow.
Draw a picture of your home life.
Yeah, Andrea drew a picture of her home life with her own blood. So it just makes me a little concerned. I mean, I love her creative expression, but she got an A. No, she got an A. I just want to make sure things were okay.
Not to blood shame, but...
But anyway, what I was saying is like, we're all works in progress. So years ago, I was the one who was, quote unquote, too clingy and sending too much. So we all have to learn too, like, okay, don't want to be the person like, why didn't you text?
Right.
But there are ways to communicate that aren't with that forceful energy, but still presenting how you feel. I don't know. It's so complicated. It's, and
when people text whenever they want, and you're attracted to them, it reads as confident, I feel. Like, I don't care. Hey, I'll text you.
When you're just you and it works.
Yeah,
and
totally.
They're just them and it works. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Which is rare. And I do think that, like, I don't want to demonize this guy because I know that you...
Oh, we're not talking... No, we're not talking shit.
Yeah.
Anybody. He sounds... I like that he said, like, hey, you should... text me too.
Yeah, it was open, and I think that it could be I don't know at this point.
I just don't like the that you voiced something that was upsetting you instead of being like, I'm sorry that upset you and I'll try to do something differently. It was like, well, you're doing it was very deflective,
and I understand
that's
why
not
you
like I don't
think that.
Yeah.
I just think if
you didn't leave it feeling good. Like, is that a fair thing to say?
I left feeling confused.
Exactly. So
that's
what I'm saying.
But that's not necessarily bad because who knows the full story of what was going on.
Right. You never could.
But I have heard from a lot of guy friends, like, because us girls, we automatically think we're the, not that we think we're the weaker ones, but in guy-girl dynamics, we think that they have the power, but they don't know that we think that. And often they think we have the power.
Really?
So yeah. So there's this weird, interesting standoff that happens of like, who's going to text first? And we think this... that he's being a dick and he thinks that we're playing hard to get. And it's
well,
like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I think there could potentially be, and I'm trying not to read into it too much at this very moment, but I think there could potentially be like some overthinking on his end going on.
Sounds like on both.
Yeah. He's, well, definitely on mine. Let's make that very clear. Yeah. Definitely a lot of
send
analyzing.
Send a butt selfie. Just get it right out there. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay.
But
think about it.
That's your soul song, Andrea.
Yeah, we'll think about it. I'm not really at this current point.
My soul is garbage.
At this
no, it's not.
At this current point in time, I'm not like sending nudes to grasp at his attention. I think that's what I'm saying. Like it's not. But you know,
not that you are.
Yeah, that felt very.
No, I'm saying
at this point,
they're just not at the butt selfie point that you're at.
I'm not really like, you know, doing desperate things in the way that you do. I mean, it's cute that you do it that way and it's going to work out, but I'm more like,
I would do it if I felt if I felt a little more like on steady ground.
I said
right
the
now.
Butt selfie cuz he sent whatever. Well,
it doesn't matter.
No, you are in butt selfie land. Yeah. Don't.
Butt selfies are cool.
You
I
guys
like
are
them.
Both killing it.
Thank you.
Barely. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
We're all hot messes, guys.
But anyway, and then I'll get off this topic. You know, he'll make comments like, about how he thinks I'm like out there like fucking all these dudes and stuff.
So it's a, maybe it's coming from a place of self-consciousness.
I think it might be coming from a
place
of insecurity.
Well, honey, you're way tougher than you realize. You know, like we all present as very strong women. We are very strong women, but we're also very sensitive mushes.
Yeah.
Like every person, but especially when you're a woman in comedy, you go through a certain hustle in New York City and you have this mm-hmm. armor, you know, to even handle the bombs of comedy and everything. Right. So we can seem very intimidating. And this is why communication is so important of like, oh yeah, I was worried. Why isn't he texting? Yeah. And mm-hmm. just, and I'm loving having conversations with men, especially after that Aziz story of mm-hmm. like, what are you guys feeling in a makeout session? Like, are you just as nervous as I am? Like, and I've loved hearing from men that I had Mark Erber and Eric Newman on the mm-hmm. week before this and hearing their place of what goes on in their heads and how they think women want to be approached and the, right. you know, like the confusion. It just, we've all been kind of confused together, not knowing what the other one wants.
We're all drinking the rape culture Kool-Aid. We need to fucking relax.
And talk to each other and communicate and listen.
Yeah.
But totally. We got to wrap it up. Where can, you guys be found together and then individually, like social media.
I disabled my personal Instagram because
you did?
Yeah, it was hard on. It was getting to be a little, you know, heavy. We did it together.
You both disabled the
our personal, but we have a joint Instagram because we're very codependent, and that is Hot Mess Comedy Hour. And you can also follow us at Hot Mess Podcast on Twitter. And yeah, check us out at ogpodcastnetwork.com or on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Yay. Master plugger.
And do you have more to plug?
Oh, no. Just Andrea Comedy on Twitter if you want to listen.
I'm Lubination on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is out the day before Labia Game will be out, the music video. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
So fucking hot.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Everybody stop what you're doing right now. Yes. Now that the podcast is over, shut it off.
Go on your boss's computer.
Well, this is out the 22nd. The 23rd, stop everything you're doing.
Oh, so mm-hmm. tomorrow.
Go to Facebook mm-hmm. and YouTube and check out the music video, Labia Game. It should be on my channel and on 800 Pound Gorilla's channel. They're the company that
so
produced
cool.
it. And then James Manzello's the director, though, and Zach Ray shot it. But
and also buy Kate's fucking album.
Yeah, I know, right? Get as much Kate in your life as you can. Consume her nose blood via.
Yeah, with every album you buy, you'll get a little tiny vial of my nose blood.
Yeah, there are tons of people that would be super into that.
I'm not doing that, but it's called 1111. Mm-hmm. It's on iTunes, so get my album. Labia Game's on there as well, just the audio, but 17 tracks of stand-up comedy. And February 25th is my album release variety show at New York Comedy Club. Stand-up, go-go dancing, musical acts.
So sick.
And then afterwards, we're going to go like to the it's like the same New York Comedy Club, but the little thing next door and hang.
Oh, that's gonna be so fun. Oh.
So come to that. I'll be rapping Labia Game live.
What? All right,
we're gonna be there.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're not there, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a different country.
And we'll I'll bring some essential oils. And what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, promo Wolf, 2 Fs. So you get $10 tickets. So yeah, those are my plugs, guys.
Shit, yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you both for coming
on.
I love you both so much.
Love you more.
Mutual.
No, it's a tie.
Fine.
Fine.
I'll drink both your blood.
Bye.